Our US correspondent today is Kelsey Snell. Kelsey is congressional correspondent, Washington desk for NPR News. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi there.
Now, interesting to hear the discussion around COVID boosters and who should get them.
Yeah, so we are in a moment now where the Biden administration is kind of stepping back from an original promise that anybody who had received COVID-19 vaccines earlier in the year would become eligible after 8 months. Now, there was an FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, which oversees drug approvals, came back and said in a 16-2 vote that, you know, the broad use of the booster shot would not be approved. So they're essentially saying that people who are regular everyday person of who is healthy does not necessarily need a booster shot yet. They say the science does not necessarily back that up. That advisement could change in the future, but for the time being, they say the science does not support the need for healthy individuals to get a booster shot. However, they then voted 18-0 to authorize booster shots for people 65 and over or people at high risk of severe COVID-19. That also includes people who are healthcare workers or who work in congregate environments like elderly care homes. And so there will be some people who will be eligible for shots, but it will not be the broader population as was originally expected according to the administration.
It's interesting timing, too, because I saw the president this week talking about sending another lot of vaccines over to developing countries or countries that have not been able to get as many as the wealthy countries have. And, of course, we've got this UN General Assembly meeting coming up in New York where I'm sure this will be quite a conversation. Because while other countries are unprotected, this virus keeps mutating.
That's right. And we do expect that the Biden administration wants this to be a big part of what is discussed. My colleague Tamara Keith has learned that President Biden will set a goal of 70% of the world's population being vaccinated by September 2022. And that will be part of the conversation. That September 2022 date is when leaders are set to convene next year for the UN General Assembly. As you say, low-income countries have received less than 1% of all of the doses given out globally so far. And there's a lot of criticism of the United States for considering booster shots at a time when there are so many countries that have had access to very little in the way of supply of vaccines. So the administration is kind of navigating a very narrow space here where there is considerable demand among those people who are already vaccinated in the U.S. for these booster shots. But there is a question of equity across the globe and equity, you know, in the way that this is being distributed.
It's not just equity, it's trying to get an understanding that until the virus is shut down and stops mutating, we're at risk of the vaccines we've developed not working against a new iteration of it. It's actually, it just requires a mind-bending amount of global cooperation, this one.
Absolutely. And that is, as we understand, the intention of many of these conversations at the UN General Assembly over the coming days in New York.
All right. Are there other particular issues? Climate, of course, is looming soon, but that's being held at its own separate summit, major summit coming up soon. But do we believe this COVID pandemic and trying to get the you know, nails in the coffin to the thing will be the main focus?
That is the expectation, though. I think there will be probably some conversation about the dust-up between the United States and France over the supply of nuclear submarines to Australia. That is already something that the White House is telegraphing they would like to have handled, though it will not likely be handled in person at the UN General Assembly because we understand that French President Macron did not travel to New York for this meeting. However, the Biden administration says they are attempting to set up a call, though they have not given any details about whether or not France has responded to those requests to set up a call.
This is the so-called AUKUS, this new, it's strange trying to work out what to describe it as. It's a deal as much as anything. New Zealand's sitting here, got a heads up just before it was announced, even though these are traditional allies for us and many other different forums. However, it's primarily about a hardware deal, and we know France is furious about this. Now, was President Macron expected at the UN General Assembly before this, or is it unrelated?
It seems that it is unrelated. We don't know. All we do know is that the White House has confirmed that Macron will not be there. I think that one of the things that we are watching from the Biden side of this is there was a lot of conversation about how much notice was given and what the expectations of allies were of Biden versus versus his predecessor, former President Trump. There was an expectation on the global stage that Biden would be more predictable, would communicate better, that even when there were disagreements between countries, there would be some, expectation that the communication would be more normalized. And France has said that this is outside of what they were expecting from the Biden administration, and they have been quite upset, in fact, canceling a gala that was scheduled to celebrate the relationship between the U.S. and France, and recalling their ambassador.
The recalling of the ambassador is about as strong a move one can get into before sanctions, and one don't think this is necessarily going to prompt sanctions, but symbolically, it's a very strong move. So now the administration is saying we want to reach out and what? Smooth things over.
Yeah, they say that they want to discuss the way forward. This is an effort by the administration to resolve things. They said immediately after the recall of the ambassadors that there would be efforts to smooth things over, and that the administration immediately took steps to try to clean up some of this international situation. This is not something that we're used to seeing from the Biden administration, though I should say that this is still a new administration and one that we are watching the way that they interact on the global stage. And people's expectations may not line up with what they actually do in practice.
There's also that saying, if you'll pardon the phrasing, cock up over conspiracy. And can some of this be put down to a new administration that is still feeling its way in how it manages itself? Or is it more about the president perhaps looking to redefine some traditional relationships?
That will be the thing that we'll be watching to see how the evidence bears out, because there will be future tests of this administration where there will be interactions on the global stage that may tell us more about, where on which line they fall on.
Now, the Maury relations, and there never seemed to be an end to them, on the end of the Trump era. We have a forthcoming book, a forthcoming interview, actually, with Carol Leonick on her book, which was all about whether or not, or the most significant, striking part of it was about whether or not senior military brass were themselves gearing up for the possibility the president might not be prepared to leave office. So that's coming up soon, that interview. What's this latest Bob Woodward book, though, and what's it causing chatter about?
Yeah, my former colleagues at the Washington Post, Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, have a new book out called Peril. And one of the main things that people are kind of discussing in the excerpts that have been released ahead of the book's full release is that General Mark Milley spoke to his Chinese counterpart shortly before last year's election and basically said that he would take steps to ensure there isn't a war. And he has said that they were conveying reassurances. And Milley has said that he was conducting the duties of his office, not circumventing presidential authority. But this entire anecdote has created a greater, return to the conversation about 2020, about the way the mechanisms of the American government interacted with that election. And Republicans are very upset and are calling for resignations and for people to be fired as a result of this. It has certainly created a huge political dust up, but Milley is defending his actions.
It's getting to the heart of constitutional matters and where the president's power begins and ends. And what we, I guess, are learning from some of this reportage, which has not been denied in any instances I've seen, is that senior military figures were seriously exercised by a possibility.
They were seriously concerned about the stability of the former president. And, the Department of Defense says that all calls from the chairman to his counterparts, including what was reported, were staffed and coordinated and communicated with the Department of Defense, which is, as they're essentially saying, that there was proper coordination there. I will say that there are some Democrats who are now introducing legislation that probably has very little future, but they are attempting to make Congress part of the chain of command in making a decision about nuclear power and about military action, because they say that there's a lack of trust that was created by former President Trump.
Thank you very much. Kelsey Snell is our US correspondent today, and our interview with Carol Leonig on her book on the last days of the Trump presidency is in a couple of weeks' time.